Well, please turn your Bibles with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. I want to start by thanking our pastor, Pastor Tyler, for the opportunity to preach. I know he's not here right now, but we are praying for him as he travels. And I'm thankful once again. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for the kids of Worth Baptist Church. Many of those are y'all's kids, and we get them just a few hours each week. And I think it must be the few hours that they act pretty crazy because y'all know kids. But, man, we sure love the kids of Worth Baptist Church. Emily and I have, it's just been such a joy to serve y'all and serve with y'all. But I do have a couple things that I would like to apologize for. First of all, I apologize if you have ever had to endure, I'll say, me leading singing for kids, okay? So I'll just put that out there. God might have given me a few talents, but singing, unfortunately, is not one of them. And I was about to apologize for this, but I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I was about to apologize for if I've ever had to come up and ask you to serve in a kids' rally, which I know I'm seeing a lot of faces out there. I've asked a lot of you to serve in a Sunday school or children's church, but I won't apologize because this. I believe that the education of the children in this church is of paramount importance because they are going to carry our faith forward in the coming years and generations. They are going to carry the torch. So if we don't train them, if we don't teach them what it means that God made them to be a boy or a girl, if we don't teach them what it means, thus saith God, if we don't teach them what the Bible says, they're not going to get it in the public school. Unfortunately, they're not going to get it from our country now. They have to hear it in their home, so I'm talking to you parents, and in their church. So, that being said, I hope if I ask you to serve in a kids' church or Sunday school that you won't try to run for me as I would run for me, but that you would pray and ask God if this could be an opportunity for you. We had an excellent children's worker training last Saturday. If you got to make it out, thank you for making that a priority. We had a guest speaker come in and give us excellent training and very practical tips on how to teach kids. Because if you're like me, teaching doesn't come naturally, right? Who in here, Saturday was your favorite kind of day where you just got to sit at home, it was raining, you got to open a book, and maybe if you had a fireplace. Who in here is like that? Let me see all of my introverts. I know there are more of y'all. I mean, come on. See, no, but that's how you know they're introverts. They don't want to raise their hand, right? And then, of course, the extroverts, where are y'all? Y'all would rather be out and about. See, I thought for sure more hands would go up there. They say there is a, that it's more of a graph. So people aren't all the way one or the other, but it's more like 60% extroverted and a little percent introverted. If you know me, I could spend a year at home, and that would not be enough time for me. I am a homebody through and through. I don't even know how we got there. But extroverts and introverts, thank you. And I'm looking out now. So many kids workers. Thank you all for all the countless time y'all spend serving our kids. Today we're going to be in Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says this in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Verse 2, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. And so it was, when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with the cattle in their tents, and they came up as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord," or cried unto the Lord. Skip down with me to verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And watch this. This will be the focus of our message here this evening. And Gideon said to him, "O Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and hath delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Tonight, we're going to very briefly speak on where are God's miracles. And let me ask you tonight, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but have you ever needed a miracle of God? When I say miracle, we should probably define that this evening, because in our world, that word is defined quite a few different ways. I'll tell you what our culture might say is a miracle. Tonight for Master Clubs is Bible character night. We had a great host of kids that dressed up as a Bible character. And I went to Party City this afternoon to get some prizes for them. And I've never been there before. It was my first time there. And just out of the blue, the family I saw was the Wibley family and there and all their little kids. And it was a blessing to see them. But I would, much of our world would say, man, that's a miracle. What are the odds? Like, what are the chances that could come to pass? Well, we know it's not a miracle because there are chances for it to naturally occur. And it naturally occurred. And I'm glad that we got to see him. But a miracle, we need to define, a miracle is an occurrence that is not explainable by natural or scientific laws. It's something impossible. It's something only God could do. In fact, if we look to the Hebrew word, it literally means an extraordinary event, an extraordinary event. So something past the ordinary. Here's what a miracle isn't. A miracle is not something that can naturally occur or something that man can conjure up. It's not something that we can work hard enough to happen. So, here's the point. Sometimes we need miracles. Sometimes we need God to step in and intervene in ways that we can't possibly make to happen, make to come to pass. Gideon was in this situation. He needed a miracle from God. And let me tell you the importance of miracles. Miracles prove the power of our God. If it's something only God can do, then it's something we ought to ask for in our life. It's something we ought to beg God, hey, God, give us a miracle today in 2024 in this country and in Worth Baptist Church. Miracles from God and God's power is what separates us from false faiths of this world. And that is the importance of miracles. Today, we're going to look at six observations from the life of Gideon and what they mean for us when it comes to miracles because, and we didn't get to this part yet, but Gideon saw a major miracle. Gideon saw a victory over 130,000 warriors with his group, his measly group of 300 men. So let's keep reading as we see the first point in Judges 6:14. We see that miracles happen when we have faith in God. Miracles happen when we have faith in God. Here's the point. God can't do anything through us until we believe he can. God can't do anything through us until we believe he can. See, Gideon started in a place of disbelief. He didn't believe God could save his people. He thought he had abandoned them. Isn't that what he said in verse 13? "If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" He started in disbelief. When he and the Lord started talking, that disbelief changes to doubt, right? It came with a doubt that, hey, okay, God can save my people. He's real. But can he use me? In faith, trust in God only comes with a recognition, watch this, of who God is and what he's done. Watch this in verse 8. In verse 7, we'll start reading. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all them that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. See, faith in God and us trusting God, it starts from us recognizing who God is, his omnipotence, and his sovereignty over all, and what he's already done for us. Hey, we can look back, as Gideon could, and say he has freed his people from bondage. And much of us in this room could say the same. God has freed us from the bondage of sin. God has saved our soul. And much of us have seen fruit. We could look back in our life to see sin. God has allowed us to see victory over. He's allowed us to see change in our life. I don't know if anybody in here, my spiritual gift is not giving. Is anybody else in this room like me? It is a struggle. It can be a struggle to give sometimes. But I praise the Lord for the fruit that I've seen in my life. And I'm not talking about him blessing me from giving. I'm talking about God giving me a better spirit, wanting to give, even when times are tough. God changes, and we can look back and see God's power in our life. That sanctification, as we learned last week, we can look back and see God changing us more in Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the power we can look back, and it's that power of God. It's who God is and what he is and what he's done that allows us to have faith and trust him. So we see miracles happen when we have faith in God. What's the next thing? We see in verse 15 that miracles happen when we realize we are nothing, but God is everything. What did Gideon say? He said in verse 15, And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Essentially, he's saying, my family, he's actually referring to his clan, that his clan is the least of all the clans. And then he's saying, I'm the youngest in my family. So he's already the lowest, we would say, economically. And then he's the youngest. He doesn't have any birthright or anything like that. He's saying, God, I'm the lowest of the low. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. How could you use me to do a miracle? This is where his doubt comes in. But this is where we see that miracles happen once we recognize that we are nothing. And God uses nothing to do great things. God uses nobodies to do great things. I love his answer. I love what God says in verse, we just saw it. Let me find it here. In verse 12, he says, And the angel of the Lord appeared with him and said to him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. That sounds pretty encouraging. He's pretty courageous. But where was he? Look at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. And it says, And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. He's hiding. And God appears to him and says, Hey, thou man of valor. Now, this isn't the type of situation, parents, where maybe your young kid has had a tough week. They've had a lot of attitudes, and you've had a lot of talks with them. You say, hey, today's going to be a good day, right? You're going to be a great kid. This isn't like that, right? This isn't this optimism that, hey, you could turn out right. No, this is God seeing the potential in Gideon. Seeing a nobody with potential. And I want to specify, he sees the potential in Gideon. And I don't know where you're at in this room, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about your walk with God. Today, you could feel like a nobody, but God sees the potential in you. It's not just potential, it's the fact that there is potential in you. And God wants to use you tonight. He wants to do something through you. And it might not be deliver a whole nation, but it could be share the gospel with a person. Let me tell you this, the greatest miracle we could ever see in this world is God saving somebody from their sin. How many of you have seen the power of sin? Sin has devastating consequences. And Gideon asked, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? We could ask the question, why do good things happen to bad people? First of all, because sin has consequences. My family has seen firsthand the devastating power of sin. It separates family. It separates loved ones. Because sin has consequences. Good thing or bad things happen to good people. So Gideon was hiding. He felt like a nobody. I want you to walk through with me and see all the nobodies, all the nothings God used in the scriptures. God used an old man named Abraham to birth a nation from which the Savior of the world would come. Think about that. A man who had sinned and messed up time and time again, that's who God used to birth a nation to bring his son. God used a forgotten brother named Joseph and saved the world in time of famine. He was a picture of Christ. God used a stuttering outcast Hebrew named Moses and saved his people from bondage and parted the Red Sea. This one's heavy. God used a prostitute named Rahab to save the lives of his servants. God used an adulterer and a murderer named David as a writer of much inspired scripture in the Psalms and a builder of his kingdom. God used a denier named Peter and a forsaker to preach the gospel on Pentecost and see thousands of people get saved. God used a persecutor named Saul to shake this world with the gospel of Christ. See, we could go on and on and on about the nobodies God has used in scriptures, but here's the catch. All of these saints, they had nothing to brag about for what they did because God did it, and before God came, they were nothing. They were nobody. And you may feel like a nobody tonight, but hey, take courage. God does miracles through nobodies. Just as he used Gideon, a nobody, to deliver his people from the Midianites. So we see that miracles happen when we realize we are nothing. But next we see miracles happen when we worship God. We'll go fast. I see the clock. Don't worry. Judges 6:24, the Bible says, "Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah." Miracles happen when we worship God. See, Gideon built an altar to publicly display his trust and worship of God. True worship is public. And in our doubt, God can grant us peace. But watch this. Worship helps to stabilize our emotions. When we give God true worship, he gives us peace. It's a natural byproduct of worship. I find it interesting, especially now as a parent, my wife and I value peace above all else. And peace is worth more than any amount of fame, any amount of wealth. I know I'm going to date myself here. I'm going to pull up a comic strip from 1983. I don't know if any of you are a fan of Peanuts, but in this comic strip, is it Susie or Lucy? Lucy, thank you all. Thank you all. She is kind of venting to Charlie Brown. She says, "I hate everything. I hate the whole world." He says, "I thought you had inner peace, right?" A lot of people say they have that these days. They're doing stuff. And she says, "I do, but I still have outer obnoxiousness." And I don't know if that's that is a perfect picture for siblings and kids, if there ever was one. See, we're constantly on the hunt for peace. And let me tell you, miracles will never come without peace, but they never come without worship to God. Because when God is worshiped, when he is valued above all else, that's when he will use us as the vessels that he wants us to use. But notice this, and this is important. It's a one-word difference, but it changes everything. Miracles happen when we worship only God. Miracles happen when we worship only God. Look at verse 26, or 25 with me. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." So here's what God says. He says, "Yes, you built me an altar, but you can't worship two things. You cannot serve two gods." And this applies to us so acutely as well this night. We cannot worship two things. What is on the throne of your heart tonight? Is it sinful entertainment? Is it work? Is it hobbies? What is on the throne of your heart? Because let me tell you something. If you're begging and pleading and asking God for a miracle, but something's on the throne of your heart, you won't see a miracle happen. Because miracles happen when we worship only God. And I would encourage you tonight, if there is sin in your life that you know needs to be dealt with, if there is something else on your throne that you have been giving far more attention to than you give to God, get that right with the Lord tonight. If we want to see miracles, we must worship God alone. God thought this was so important. He made a Ten Commandment solely on this, right? He said, in Exodus 23, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Next, we see that miracles happen on God's time with God's resources. Miracles happen on God's time, on God's resources. I just love this part of the story. We'll read in verse 7. Chapter 7, starting in verse 4, and verse 3, excuse me. Now therefore go, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So Gideon gets his army ready. He's ready to fight their opponents. He gets 32,000 men. Now, we read later on in chapter 8, that the Midianites have 135,000 men. Okay, that's hard for us to wrap our head around. That is a lot of people, a lot of warriors. In fact, I have a photo up here from a presidential speech a few years back that in this photo shows about 100,000 people. So this will help us. So this is the valley that fought the Midianites in. I thought it'd be helpful for us to wrap our mind around. And this is a photo of 100,000 people. That's a lot of people, okay? So Gideon says, okay, I got 32,000 people. That's about 1-4 odds. But hey, I'm confident. God's on our side. We got this. And we know the story. God says in verse 4, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that, whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee in a of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go down with thee. And essentially, God weeds down, and for sake of time, we'll skip this. God weeds down Gideon's army to 300 people, right? So almost the size of this room, facing 100,000 plus people, okay? Do y'all think we got this? Y'all think we got this? Here's the thing. Miracles don't happen with our logic and our reason. Miracles happen on God's time, with God's resources. God gave Gideon his plan. He said, too many people, you need fewer. Why? Because God was going to get the glory. And if Gideon had attempted to take control of this situation for one second, God wouldn't have delivered them. They wouldn't have seen a miracle. Gideon had to obey God. See, our obedience to God's plan, to God's methods, is of the utmost importance if we're going to see God answer our prayer requests, and do amazing things in our lives. God has equipped us with the gospel, right? That is his method for saving people. God's equipped us with prayer. That's God's method. God's equipped us with the church. He's given us the church. That's his method. He's given us the Holy Spirit to direct us, to lead us, to prompt us. That's his method. And we'll never see God's miracles if we never submit ourselves to God's methods. If we want to see God do something great through us, we have to do it his way. We have to share the gospel. We have to pray. We're never going to see God doing great things through us and for us if we never submit ourselves to his path. We're only going to see miracles if it's God's way. So we have to follow him in obedience. Our obedience is paramount if we're going to see him do things through us. And here we see our last observation. Miracles happen for God's glory. Miracles happen for God's glory. We read in the rest of verse 7. Gideon has a plan. He has the pitchers and the lamps and the trumpets. And essentially, he uses all of those resources. And God steps in and intervenes where he creates a moment of chaos in the army within the valley of 135,000 people. They start to slay each other. And God miraculously stepped in and he saved his people. But here's the catch. Watch with me in verse 8. And the men of Ephron said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou called us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. So essentially this tribe of Ephron, he roped in a little later to help out, to help track down some of the warriors that had fled. And he said to them, watch this, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is it not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephron better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian. Here's what it is. Gideon gives the glory to God. And if you know the story of this judge, you'll know that it doesn't end too well with his pride. He gets prideful. But right here, he says, God gets the glory from this event. And miracles happen for God's glory. Now, why is that important? First of all, God alone deserves the glory. And if we ever see God do something great, the surest way to prevent God doing great things in our life is to take the credit for it. Is to take the credit for, hey, I shared the gospel with so-and-so people. Man, I'm such a good Christian. I saw 3 or 4 people get saved. The surest way to see God stop doing great things in your life is to take the credit for it. But it's also important for us to recognize that because God gets the glory, it's going to be okay if we don't get the miracle we were expecting. If I were to ask by show of hands, how many of us are praying for family members in this room, friends, loved ones to get saved, probably every hand in this room would go up, right? And many of us pray every night, maybe for a brother or a sister or a mom or a dad or a cousin. And we say, God, why aren't you doing something great? Why aren't you bringing them back to you? And we can doubt, right? But the thing is, when God does a miracle, when he saves a soul, he's the one who gets the glory. So it has to happen in his time. So we can be okay if God doesn't do it on our table. We can just act accordingly. We can pray. We can live righteously. We can follow God and obey his will so that we can be ready when he's ready to do a miracle. This is the final part of the answer to why do bad things happen to good people. It's because God gets the glory when he saves us. Bad things happen to good people because when God steps in and intervenes because of his people humbling themselves, recognizing that God does everything and praying and doing all they can for this world, God gets the glory when he steps in and saves people. Miracles happen for God's glory. So, where are all of God's miracles? I don't know if you noticed this, but God answered Gideon's question. Back in chapter 6, Gideon said, oh, my Lord, and he says in the middle of the verse, and where be all his miracles? But doesn't God answer it? The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? You know what God says to his question? Where are all of your miracles? God says, they're you. God wants to use you tonight to do a miracle. And it's going to take getting out of your comfort zone. I'm super excited for evangelizing DFW. And I can tell you, after several years of consistently sharing my faith, I still get nervous with knocking on a door, sharing the gospel, or even just passing out a tract. But guess what? God wants to use each of us in a great way this spring, this summer, this fall to share his love and do a miracle by raising the dead to life. God wants to use you. Are you usable for a miracle of God? Can God use you to do a miracle? And I don't know what miracle you need tonight. Maybe you have family that needs to come back to the Lord to be saved. Maybe you need finances for home. Maybe you have a major health need in your life. Or maybe you've been begging God for a victory over a sin in your life. But so I'll ask this. What is holding you back from seeing God's miracles in your life? Is it your faith? Is it your worship? Is your worship split? Is it your obedience to God and his methods? See, God is waiting to do a miracle in your life, but are you ready for him to? I'll close with this. The greatest miracle the world could ever see is God's power over death. And he can take anyone. It doesn't matter what past you've had. It doesn't matter how badly you've sinned. God can save you from your sin. God says this in Ephesians 2:1, "And you he hath quickened," that means to be made alive, "who were dead in our trespasses and sins." Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Maybe you've been attending a church for a few decades, but maybe you've just been attending church for a few weeks. If you've never made the personal choice to call out to Jesus and accept him as your Savior, I would implore you to change that tonight, to decide to accept Christ as your Savior tonight so that you can see the power of God firsthand and his miracle saving power in taking us from our sin and giving us life. Let's bow as we close in prayer. Father God, I'm thankful for the life of Gideon and the nobody you took and did something amazing through him. God, you want to do miracles through us, through every person in this room tonight. Would you give us the faith to follow you? God, the readiness to obey you, and God, the love to worship you with all of our being. God, if there's a soul in here that's not saved, God, would you give them the courage to come forward and accept you as their Savior? It's in your Holy Son's name we do pray. Amen.